Extra! Extra! Paddy Power pay more places on golf than any other bookie. Just log on to paddypower.com to get sinking that each way value. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm delighted to be reunited with my old mucker Steve Palmer. And we've also got Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin as ever. So we're back together. Steve's been away to the Seychelles for a fortnight. Did you have fun, Steve?
Oh, very much so, John. Yeah, it's a lovely place. I had a chest infection for the duration, but it's one hell of a place to have a chest infection. You know, it's a 30-degree heat and fantastic beaches. So, yeah, I'm refreshed and ready to tip winners again.
Excellent. We can see you this week. That's great. We don't have to see that old picture of you with the blue shirt. It's a blue golf shirt, but it looks like, whereas it's actually got like epaulettes on it, but it looks like you've got lederhosen on or something. So, anyway, that's all in
all
the past.
From Valhalla.
Now.
We got that from Valhalla. That's a European Ryder Cup shirt from Valhalla, yeah.
Great memories. Glad
you can see me.
Yes.
I can see you too.
Excellent. Right then, this week we've got a really, really fascinating tournament. It's the WGC Mexico Championship. All the big guns, I say all the big guns, 47 of the top 50 are there. And then we've got the Puerto Rico Open, which for me, I absolutely love this. This field is absolutely astonishing. There's people who I assumed died of old age or at least 80 or had lost their card, but they've all come back. It's absolutely astonishing. We will deal with that later. A quick review of last week. JB Holmes, breaking news, it's Wednesday, has just won the Genesis Open in the slowest performance in the history of golf. Boo! Hope you never win again. And we had the Honda World Super 6 in Perth. A ridiculous concept that was won by Ryan Fox. Did the bookies win at the weekend?
The bookies did win, Bruce, yeah. Ryan Fox was a decent enough winner in the end. And obviously JB Holmes was a skinner in the market. We took a strong position against Justin Thomas going into pre-tournament. And luckily we got away with it in the end when he stumbled to a final round 75.
Yeah, were you surprised by the way he capitulated so, Ian?
Not really. The position I was looking to take especially was, looking at the forecast for the weekend, the wind was set to get up pretty well. And Thomas Wunbjerneren is a very, very good wind player. He's got a very high ball flight. He can't really control his golf ball as much as he would like to in the wind. So that reason was why I was going to take him on. Obviously, when he got four clear, you're kind of going, well, he's that far enough clear now that he doesn't have to play that well. I'll probably still hang on. Luckily, the wind really got up in the back nine, 11, 12, 13. That 4 point on 13 really just spooked him. I don't think he recovered from that whatsoever. And as you said, JB Holmes, very slow, and the tortoise beat the hare literally on Sunday.
Yes, and what's the punter interest like in that silly Super 6 thing, Ian? I don't suppose they like that, do they?
No, didn't get off the ground too much really. For all we tried with the extra places and top price, the front end of the market, it didn't really take off too much, no.
Never mind. Steve, when you were out there lying under the palm trees with a tincture in your hand, did you keep an eye on the results? And do you think you would have tipped stroke back to plenty of winners, or do you think you'd have lost on the fortnight?
I had a good catch up when I got back. I got back on the Sunday just in time for the final round of the Genesis, and I thought, oh, this won't take long, but then yeah, it didn't finish till 1 a.m. It was grueling, wasn't it, watching JB Holmes until 1 a.m.
Grotesque, I would say. I thought it was disgusting. Yeah. And while, you know, you've got to point fingers at Holmes, what on earth are the PGA doing about regulating slow play, you know? They'll fine you two shots if a butterfly lands on your ball or something completely irrelevant. But you hang around and you loiter and you take ages and they don't do anything about it. It's not fair on the fast players. Over to you.
No, they didn't even go on the clock, did they? Which was staggering.
Yeah. So would you have won, do you think?
I think I didn't bet on the fortnight. You know, I take my holidays, I take a fortnight, took a fortnight off and I didn't even look at the field. So I don't know who I would have bet, but I'm a big Ryan Fox thing. I think of the four winners, I think Ryan Fox is the one I may have had because he's played well in Rolex Series events. He's been due a win. He was really unlucky against Russell Knox in the Irish Open. So I think Fox can go from strength to strength here. I think he's one of the most powerful players on the European Tour. And I think this win will do wonders for him. I think Ryan Fox will win a few more tournaments. So, yeah, he was the one I was disappointed to see win, but I wouldn't have had the others, I don't think.
Okay, let's rattle through some questions. There's absolutely loads of them. Ian, when will Tony Finau finally land another PGA win? Very steady and always seems to be there or thereabouts, but can't seem to win, says DJ McCarry.
I think he's close to a win. He's obviously been playing consistently well for the last 18 months, really. He was top 10 in 3 to 4 majors last year. Power is the new form of the game on the PGA Tour, and he has bundles of it as well. So I don't think he'd be too long. You're looking for a course where it's going to be soft, long. You take advantage of his driver. Just look out for courses. Maybe if he plays the Arnold Palmer in a couple of weeks' time, he might be one to take a look at for sure.
Okay, Steve, who do you think will win the FedEx this season?
I think Tiger Woods will win the FedEx. Only 3 FedEx Cup playoff events this year. Liberty National, where he's finished second twice before. Medina, where he's won the US PGA. And Eastlake, where he won last year. So, I think Tiger Woods, if he's in the mix going into the playoffs, which I think he will be FedEx Cup champion.
Eamon says, how overrated is Justin Thomas? Ian?
That's a very hot take there. I don't think he's overrated at all. 25 years old. 10 PGA Tour wins already a major champion, already a world number one. Yeah, I don't think he's overrated at all, personally.
John asks, this is a good question, who would you rather be, Steve? Jordan Spieth's coach or Matt Kuchar's caddy this week?
That is a good question. I mean, Jordan Spieth was X-rated stuff on Sunday, wasn't it? I mean, all through the bag, he's struggling. I mean, he's hitting it all over the place and he's got the yips. I mean, Jordan Spieth has got the yips. So I think his coach has got serious problems. So yeah, I'd rather be Matt Kuchar's caddy, who is guaranteed a check this week. No cut this week.
Did you catch up on the Matt Kuchar rumpus?
Yeah. I think it's disgusting. I think he's an absolute tight ass. Absolute tight ass, and he's trying to cover it now with the help of his agent. Yeah. But I mean, the one thing that he needs a grand gesture. What he should do? They're playing in Mexico this week, obviously. He should have that man, David Ortiz, back on his bag this week. So you're caddy this week, and I'll give you 100% of my earnings this
week.
Get guaranteed. But he won't do it because, he's a tight ass.
And you know when people go, cooch, cooch, and the commentator goes, oh, they're not booing, they're just saying cooch. Well, I reckon they will be booing in future. If I ever go there and I say, I'm going to boo. And then if anyone goes, oh, don't boo, that's really bad. Just go, oh, I was just saying cooch. That's my plan. Let me see now. Prince Argyle says, do Steve and Ian think there could be another wave of first-time major winners this year? DJ Spieth, Rory Day, etc. all look void of the X factor they've previously had. Ian, do you think there could be some first-time major winners this year?
Most definitely, yeah. A wave, 4 out of 4, probably could be a bit of a stretch. But like the likes of DeChambeau, Xander Schauffele, a lot more young players like that. Cameron Champ, obviously, we've been flagging up for majors as well. There's an array of talent behind there who are still maiden major winners. So, yeah, I think there could be maybe, if we're going to have a spread, I'd say two major winners this year.
Okay. So, Steve, we've got a lot of questions about JB Holmes and his appalling pace of play. Peter says, can you discuss why it takes so long, 5.5 hours, for a pro golfer in a 3-ball to complete a round? Should there be a fine, a disqualification, or a stroke penalty? What do you think, Steve? How do we eradicate this?
We need stroke penalties. I mean, there's enough money sloshing around this sport for you to have a referee following every single group. And never mind going on the clock, just instant penalties. If you go over the allotted time, it's an instant penalty shot. And it will solve the problem. And you'll be helping players like JB Holmes, because when when he was lining up that eagle putt on the final par 5 on Sunday, he spent an absolute age stalking around it for ages, talking to his caddy, and then bashed it off the green. It didn't help him. All the preparation did not help him. If he'd gone straight up to it and whacked it, he would have done better. He would have done better than he did. And in the Shot Clock Masters last year in Austria, they actually brought down the scoring average playing quicker. So the faster you play, the better you play, I feel, in many cases. And I think you need to get referees with every group and then penalty shots for slow play.
But it's so odd, Steve, isn't it? Because there is a culture of penalising players for all sorts of nothingy offences in golf.
I just don't know
why they don't do it. Right then, Brian says, I'm interested in Ian's thoughts on McIlroy's performance, as he has tipped him a number of times over the past few months. Such a gifted golfer. He has had a lean time of it for a few years now. Ian?
He started the season really well. Like, that 4 place at Riviera was his third top 5 in 3 events. He was poised. I was disappointed in his finish on 17, 18 Sunday. Like, he was poised. He chipped in the par 3 in the 16th, bombed his drive down 17 at 252 yards in, 4-iron downwind, made par. Bombed another drive down 18, had a wedge in hand and missed the green, spun off the front of the green, and he did well to make par in the end. So, yeah, that killer instinct might be lacking with him at the moment, but the more times he puts himself in position like he has the last three weeks that he's played, I think he'll win again. And once he does, I think the floodgates will open for him.
Okay. Richard says, if they had one item to bludgeon JB Holmes with, what would it be? We won't go there because, I mean, he needs penalising. He doesn't need bludgeoning. The poor sod had a brain injury, didn't he? He had a brain tumour, didn't he, or something not so long ago, didn't he, Steve?
He did have brain surgery. I mean, he just needs a little feather duster up the arse when he's going slow down, a little tickle up the arse.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, there's a lot of arse talk this week.
No, that's fine. Who is the best closer currently after Fowler nearly threw away a four-shot lead, and JT collapsed on Sunday? So, Steve, who do you like best to close out a tournament?
Well, historically, it's been Tiger Woods, and he showed last year at Eastlake he's still got that, you know, defending from the front side. Tiger Woods is the all-time great, but I think of the modern breed, Xander Schauffele. Every time Xander Schauffele has been in contention, he hasn't given an inch. He's got balls of steel. So I think, I'd say Schauffele is the best closer of the current crop.
Excellent. Thank you very much. If I didn't get to read your question, I do apologise. We'll do some more next week, though. Thanks very much for sending those in. We'll look at the Mexico Championship next.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Be the right club today!
Right then, it's the WGC Mexico Championship. Loads and loads of big names gathering in Mexico for this fantastic, lucrative tournament. And Ian, read out Paddy Power's latest betting, if you would.
Yes, so seven places this week in Mexico. Justin Thomas heads the betting at 9-1. Dustin Johnson next in at 10-1. Rory McIlroy 11-1. John Rahm 14-1. Bryson DeChambeau 16-1. Brooks Koepka 18-1. Ricky Fowler 18-1. And 20-1 bar.
What a field we've got, Steve, for your comeback. Are you excited about this one?
Yes, very excited.
Okay, great. Glad I asked that. Steve, who's your main selection?
My main selection is Ricky Fowler. I don't think he's getting enough credit for what was ultimately a very gutsy victory in the Phoenix Open. I mean, this was a tournament he'd blown a couple of golden winning chances in previously. He had a lot of mental scar tissue at Phoenix. He was 5 over par through 12 holes. It was all going wrong. The weather was terrible. Justin Thomas was next to him, probably feeling a little bit embarrassed for his buddy. But Fowler galvanized himself. I mean, did you watch that tournament, Bruce?
I did, yes.
And you see the penalty stroke and it rolls back into the water.
Yeah, it's incredible, wasn't it? Do you think that was negligent of him to leave his ball unattended, knowing that it could just trickle back in like that?
I don't know. It's easy to say after the event. And I don't think anyone thought that ball was moving anywhere.
I didn't hear anyone in the gallery go, no, don't walk up to the green. No, your ball might roll off.
Yeah, exactly. They're all very cocky about it afterwards, weren't they? But I just think he looked beaten from there. From that moment, you think, oh, he's lost it. It's another Phoenix Open gone. And then he rolls in a heroic triple bogey putt. He was 2 under par for the final six holes. He reclaimed first position from Brandon Grace. And I don't think he's getting enough credit for the way he got out of jail there. And I think he's 30 years of age. I think that was a massive victory for Fowler. I think he'll push on from here because we know he hasn't converted enough of these opportunities. But that was a big one. And I think he's coming to Mexico. He loves playing in Mexico. He almost won the Mayakoba Classic in his first visit to Mexico. This course suits, in form, firing. I couldn't believe how big a price he was. 20-1. I thought it was a juicy price about Fowler.
I've got a good stat about that round where he was 5 over 3-12. He's the first player since 1983 to win despite having had a double and a triple bogey in the final round. Fancy that, eh?
There you go, yeah. Well, he's overcome adversity, and I think he's fresh. He hasn't played since Phoenix, where a lot of players were, most of his market rivals were playing in at Riviera on Sunday. A lot of players play the best part of two rounds because it's weather delayed. I think there's a lot of jaded golfers arriving in Mexico, and Fowler's not one of them. His tail's up, he's relaxed, all the weight's off his shoulders. So yeah, Fowler, number one choice.
Who's your number one choice, Ian?
Yeah, I was taking him on last week. I want to be with him this week, and it's Justin Thomas. I played flawless golf for 54 holes last week at Riviera. As you mentioned, unfortunately for him, the wind got really, really strong on Sunday. Thomas, not renowned as a very strong wind player, given the high ball flight. Ultimately, as we mentioned, beaten by a shot by JB Holmes. I think he'd be incredibly determined to put that wrong right this week in Mexico. Greens in regulation and a hot putter are two key components need to contend at Chapultepec. Thomas ranked fourth in greens in regulation and first in strokes gained putting last week at Riviera. was fifth here in 2017, was second here last year, famously hauled out from the middle of the fairway on the 72nd hole. This looked to have sealed him victory before Phil Mickelson fought back and eventually beat him in a playoff. With great course form, excellent recent form, and conditions set to be calm all week, I'll be having a strong win-only bet at 10-1 this week.
Oh, no messing there. Right then, Steve, you've only put three up this week, haven't you? So who else apart from Fowler is in the plan?
Well, Brooks Koepka is the other one where I couldn't understand why he was so far down the betting. I mean, one firm opened up 25-1. He was freely available on the exchanges, even bigger, 26, 27, 28 on the exchanges. This is the highest ranked player in the field. Justin Rose is not playing. World number two, Brooks Koepka, the highest ranked player there. He's had a quiet season, and which is the reason he's such a big price, but disregarded, you know, far too far down the betting. This course is right up his street. Finished 48th there in his only previous visit, but he was in terrible form prior to that. He missed three of his last four cuts prior to coming to that one. Didn't play last year through injury. So, yeah, I think Brooks Koepka was just the forgotten man of this tournament, really. It won't be long before he's firing again. He's the best player on the field.
And then if there's a golf tournament, you must be tipping this man, Steve.
Well, yeah. Emiliano Grillo, I mean, he was 160 on the exchanges. I mean, Emiliano Grillo is improving. Where did he finish on the putting stats last season, Bruce? I mean,
I don't know. Fifth?
He finished, you know, traditionally a very weak putter. And an awesome ball striker. He finished 10th on the US Tour strokes gained putting stats last season. So I think Grillo, if he's found a putting stroke, which the evidence suggests he has, this could be a massive season for him. And I like him around Chapel Tepec. We haven't said that word
no,
yet.
No, we haven't. I was hoping someone else would have a go at that. What is it again?
I think we go Club de Golf Chapel Tepec.
Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's a good fit for him. Tree Lane golf course. He's among his Spanish-speaking cousins this week. I like what I've seen from Grillo for the last 18 months. He's missed one cut in a non-major.
Has he won you any money?
Yeah, he won me a fortune. Won
Has
me
he?
Fortune. Sorry, I got a nut on my tongue there. Sorry.
Oh, blimey. I hope you haven't got a nut allergy.
That's the benefit of Skype, isn't it? We saw all that. I like Emiliano Grillo. Yeah, he was chalked up 100-1 at the start. Well, I think that's a crazy price.
Okay, and who? How many are you putting up apart from Justin Thomas, Ian?
I have three more.
Go on, then.
First one up is Sergio Garcia. Has been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons over the past number of weeks with his meltdown on the greens in Saudi Arabia. His first start since then was last week at Riviera. An open round 75 was somewhat expected given the 2 weeks previous he had, but played some really nice golf after this. Rounds of 67 and 69 in the second and third round before a solid 71 in the wind in the final round. His worldwide starts before the episode in Saudi Arabia were excellent. Since the end of September, they were 7th, win, 2nd, 9th, 6th, 7th, 3rd. His record here makes for encouraging reading too. 12th in 2017 was followed by a 7th place finish last year. Looked a good each way play for me at 45-1.
Hang on a second. Before you move on, has he got over the thing that caused him to start attacking greens in Saudi Arabia, which is astonishing?
I would say yes. I was worried. I was happy to oppose him last week at Riviera and looked to be a perfect way to do it because he shot 75 first round, but I was encouraged by the next two rounds and the finish overall. Played really well tee to green, so yeah, it looks to be back in form, and with his form here in the course, 12th and 7th in his last two appearances, I thought 45-1 was a touch big.
What was his excuse for that? Because didn't he say he was under a bit of stress? Because he went full on, he totally lost his shit, didn't he? I mean, it was as if he was trying to put a pickaxe through those greens, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he said he had a bit of personal stuff going on, which is probably, you could take that maybe with a pinch of salt, because what else are you going to say when that sort of thing happens? You're going to go, well, I'm a effing...
It's extraordinary. It's weird,
you know,
it was mad,
yeah. So I'll move on to the next one. It's Hao Tong Li. Lee is playing the best golf of his career at present. Three consecutive rounds of 67, put him in the final group with Bryson DeChambeau in Dubai. A final round 73 where he couldn't hold a putt, dropping down to 7th. But then, controversy was retrospectively penalised 2 shots for a rule broken in relation to alignment with his caddy. 1 week later, he showed great heart to put the whole episode behind him in Saudi Arabia, pushed Dustin Johnson all the way before eventually finishing 2nd. That included an incredible third round of 62 with a double bogey start and 4 eagles in the round. I think he's a player playing with a lot of confidence. I like him each way this week at 66-1. And the last outsider is Matthew Fitzpatrick. Chapultepec is a course that should really suit Fitzpatrick. He performs well at tight courses. In the past, has also performed well at courses that are at altitude. His most recent win in September came at the European Masters at Cron-sur-Sierre, a course located high in the Swiss Alps. second place 2 months ago at the Hong Kong Open, of Fang Ling is an example of him playing well at the Thai course recently. The two characteristics combined this week should see him as a danger man. He's had two appearances here, 16 in 2017, 30th last year. He'll complete my stake of pan at 80-1 this week.
He's too meek, Fitzpatrick. He'll wilt. If one of those big guns on Sunday would stare him down, no problem, wouldn't they, Steve?
Well, we shall see.
We clash on Fitzgerald and Fitzpatrick, don't we? You rate him, don't you?
Yeah, I rate him. He's a pretty prolific winner on the European Tour. But yeah,
he'll very well win at Crans sur Sierre, but I'm not so sure in the cauldron.
Well, it's altitude, you know, Cransford's quite key this week. Yeah, it's a bit of altitude form, but
it's more about attitude than altitude, Steve.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I'd like to put a bit more meat on the Grillo bone, because I think that nut just put me off a little bit.
What sort of nut was it?
It's an almond. An almond. Yeah, he closed with a pair of 69s last year. In 2017, his only previous visit to Chapel Tepec, and only 13 players outscored him over the weekend. So I think he is course proven, and as I say, he's a rock solid. Yeah, he's a good top 10 option if you like that market.
Somewhere. Okay, let's get the champs' views on some of the other fancy contenders that we haven't really mentioned. Ian, what do you think of Dustin's chances?
Again, yeah, looking to take him on again this week. He's a decent enough record here. I think he's just a little bit tired at the moment looking at him. He was languishing last week at Riviera. He had a good third round to kind of make his finish look probably a little bit better than it was. Yeah, so happy to take him on around the same price again this week.
Steve, could you be interested in Rawls?
Rawls, yeah, I like what I saw from Rawls last week. The putting stroke looked nice. Obviously, the 5-5 finish was hugely disappointed. Big setback. So, I don't think there's much in his price this week.
So, do you agree with Ian that McIlroy will be back in the winner's enclosure before too long?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I think it's coming.
Okay. Ian, what about Big Johnny Rahm?
Yeah, again, the price doesn't really entice me too much. He's playing some good golf, but happy to let him go off around 14.
Steve, can DeChambeau win this?
DeChambeau can win this, but others preferred.
Okay, and finally in Tiger Woods.
He's dangerous. I think he's a danger man this week. I was close to putting him up. I thought the price was a little bit skinny, but a place where he can keep the driver in the bag, irons off the tee, obviously one of the best iron players has ever lived, obviously one of the best putters has ever lived. Those two components are key this week, so I think he's a big danger this week around 20-1.
Okay, and finally, Steve, because he's got course and current form, Phil Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson, yeah, knackered, absolutely knackered. Yeah. It was a late... He added last week into his schedule and probably regrets that now, because I don't think the title defence is going to go too well.
Okay, anything else you want to add, Ian? You got any top 20s, top 40s?
Happy enough with the four I've gone with.
And Steve, you're happy?
I got my three and then I got four for Pietrelico.
Let's do that next.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Oh, baby.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Paddy Powers. Ian McLaughlin, we are looking ahead to the Puerto Rico Open. Now then, let me read you some of these names. Boo Weekly, JJ Henry, Robert Gammes, Robert Allenby, Johnny Rollins, Frank Licklider, Ted Purdy, Brian Davis, Dickie Pride. It's absolutely incredible. All these guys, J. Don Blake. Where have they been all our lives? What is the criterion for getting into this tournament, Steve?
It's a beauty, isn't it? I mean, I went through the entry list and I just couldn't wipe the smile off my face. It was just a breathtaking experience seeing them all on there.
Who's your favourite blast from the past this week?
I love Dickie Pride. I think it's one of the best names we've ever seen on the tour. Old Lenny, seeing old Len Matisse on there. He was an alternate. He was first alternate at the start of the week, and then you just saw him dropping away. But yes, old Lenny's back in there.
Ian, what happened with old Lenny is that once Steve wrote a preview, this is when Matisse was actually a contender, and he referred to him as old Lenny. And I said, well, I've never heard him known as old Lenny. And Steve goes, yeah, but I keep calling him Matisse. I've got to think of something else. And I couldn't think of anything, so I just put old Lenny down. So he's always been known as old Lenny ever since. But, well, there'd be a lump in my throat if old Lenny was in contention on Sunday, Steve.
Yeah, yeah. It's a shame it's not on the telly, isn't it? I'd much rather watch this one than the Mexico Championship. Maybe there's a live stream or something.
Hey, what's that other? Keith Clearwater. I mean, it's brilliant.
Neil Lancaster's in
there. Absolutely brilliant. Well, let's focus on the ones that probably can win, because all the ones we've said so far, I doubt can. So, Ian, fire away with the Paddy Power show.
Yeah, so 7 places this week as well. Daniel Berger heads a betting at 12-1. Peter Uihlein next in at 14-1. Graham McDowell 18-1. Scott Brown 20-1. Charles Swartzel 20-1. Aaron Baddeley 20-1. Matt Every 28-1. Ollie Schneider Jones 28-1 at a 30-1 bar.
And Ian, how many tips do you have?
I have 3.
3. Well, give us your main one now.
Yeah, the first one is Corey Connors. Connors is an ever-improving player in the PGA Tour. His recent form on coastal windswept courses are what caught my eye heading into this week in Puerto Rico. He was 23rd in the RSM Classic at the end of last year. Followed this up with an excellent third at the Sony Open in Hawaii. That included weekend rounds of 64 and 64. I think he looks to be a player who'd be well suited by the coastal test at Cocoa Beach. He'd be my main bet this week around 30-1.
Okay, and Steve, your main bet is?
My main bet is Scott Brown. Scott Brown's been a standing dish in this tournament for 8 years. He first played it in 2012. He was a nervous US Tour rookie. He'd missed his first 6 cuts of the season, came to Puerto Rico and finished 5th. So immediately planted positive vibes for this course. Missed his next 4 cuts, incidentally, after that on the US Tour. So a real beacon of form in the 2012 season. And the following year, he won the tournament. Won the tournament, fended off a young Jordan Spieth. It's his only US Tour victory to date. And he's got more recent form at Puerto Rico as well. His last 3 visits, 10, 5, 17. So he absolutely loves it here. But you've also got some course form too, because his performance in the Farmers Insurance Open at the end of last month was fantastic. Finished 9th there, high class company. If you look at the players that beat him, Justin Rose, Adam Scott, Hideki Matsuyama, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day and Billy Horschel. He won't have to worry about any of them. That 9th place in the Farmers not long ago is fantastic form. He's going to his favourite track. I thought Scott Brown was the most likely winner of this tournament.
Oh, excellent. And who are your other fancies, Ian?
Yeah, 2 more. Next one is Cramer Hickok, one of the more unexposed players in this field. I've mentioned before, he's a young talent from the same University of Texas team as Jordan Spieth. I think he's beginning to find his feet on tour. He played the Mayakoba Classic in a windswept golf course again, much like it's going to be this week at Cocoa Beach. Rounds of 64, 67, and 67 really caught my eye. I don't think he'll have any fears in getting contention this week. As we mentioned, the calibre of the field is not the best. I thought 661 looked fair from an each-way perspective. And the outsider is Martin Traynor, taking a speculative playing on this week. Had a very encouraging display at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Finished 28 in the end and played some good golf in tough conditions. Another young player from the web.com tour and another who should hold no fears in this calibre of field. He'll complete my line about 125-1.
I must admit, I'm really impressed with the way he's fought his way to get his tour card and everything, because whenever you go to a golf course, it always says no trainers. So many courses he couldn't get into.
Oh my God.
That's not bad, is it?
Roll some hay bales across the...
Yeah. Okay, Steve, you've got 3 others, I believe.
I've got 3 others, and my next best is Matt Jones, who could also take great heart from the Farmers Insurance Open. He finished 13th, closed with a 67. Matt Jones, he's done the business before. 2014 Houston Open victory, beat Jordan Spieth in a thrilling duel for the 2015 Australian Open. And when he's needed to drop down a level to the Puerto Rico, when he's needed a plan, he's applied himself very well. And the best example of that was in 2012. He was world number 255 in 2012, turned up in Puerto Rico, really struggling. He missed 13 of his last 16 cuts, finished 5th in Puerto Rico. And do you know what world ranking he's got this week? 200.
Oh, I might have given the game. I was not there. Allowed to have a guess. 219th. Yeah.
255, again, exactly the same world ranking he's had in 2012. And I think history will repeat himself. I see Matt Jones getting in the mix after a very encouraging effort at Torrey Pines. And then I got two more against the field. Wyndham Clark. Wyndham Clark is a player I've had my eye on for a while. He's made a very solid start to his US Tour career, promoted from the web.com tour. He's played in 9 tournaments, made 7 cuts, finished 18th in the Desert Classic. Massive hitter. And there's a bit of moisture in the air for the weekend. It's going to be soft conditions at the weekend. And I think Clark can make merry. And the final one, excuse me, is Julian Etelain. 30-year-old Argentinian who I think is improving. Again, got promoted from the web.com tour. He's played in 8 events, made the cut in 5 of them. And he's won 8 times on the Latino America tour. He's played well in tournaments near Puerto Rico. Won the 2014 Panama Classic. And he got off the mark on the web.com tour last year, and he has played well in this tournament before. Closed with a 64 for 17th place in the 2017 Puerto Rico Open. So, yeah, my four against the field, Scott Brown, Matt Jones, Wyndham Clark, and Julian Etelein.
Are you happy with your pronunciation of the country in which this tournament's taking place?
Puerto Rico?
Yeah. What would you say, Ian?
I say Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Puerto
okay.
Rico.
Sorry.
That's right.
Sorry.
I know
there's another Puerto Rico somewhere, isn't there? Isn't there a little... Is there another Puerto Rico somewhere? Oh, I've got that wrong.
No. But apart from that, it was all absolutely fine.
Thank you.
Okay, any other fancies? Anyone you want to oppose? What do you think, Ian?
Nothing really I want to oppose with any great confidence. Or the three I like, confident enough with them. But yeah, nothing I really want to take on with too much confidence. I'll take on Dickie Pride maybe at the bottom of the mirror.
Yeah, I think poor old Dickie's time's probably come, hasn't it? I really do wish you would do a top old bloke we haven't seen for ages market, though. Because if you could make it like a 20-strong tournament there, about a quarter to the four, I think the interest would be absolutely astonishing. I haven't had the chance to lose money on these guys for about 20 years. It's absolutely extraordinary. It really is. Right then, Steve, anything else you want to add?
Well, we need our bet of the week, don't we?
Oh, yeah, no, we've got the bet of the week and we've got the solemn recap of the tips, just in case anyone forgot. But is there anything else you want to mention, highlight, tops or anything like that, no?
No, just four against the field in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, yeah. Okay, right, let's do the solemn roundup where if you haven't been able to jot them all down, here is the summary of selections. WGC Mexico Championship, Steve Palmer.
Ricky Fowler. Brooks Koepka. Emiliano Grillo. I'm actually looking in the hole this time. I've got to get used to this Skype business.
Do you like it or not?
I hate it.
Why?
It's scary.
Don't be ridiculous. You're doing really well. Well, honestly, Ian, when I emailed him and said, right, we're going to do Skype because people want to see you as well as to hear you, he came back with this like 10 bullet points of why he didn't want to do it. It was unbelievable. But from this, I can't see you. Everyone else can, but... You've sounded absolutely fine, Steve, as far as I'm concerned. So,
I'm a very shy. I'm a very shy man.
You've got over the barrier. I think we'll be fine from now on. Ian, what are your WGC Mexico Championship tips?
Justin Thomas, Sergio Garcia, Hao Tong Li, Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Very solemn. Puerto Rico Open, Steve Palmer.
Scott Brown, Matt Jones, Wyndham Clark. Julian Etelein.
And Ian.
Corey Connors, Kramer Hercock, Martin Trainer.
And lads, if you could only have one golf bet this week, who would it be on? Ian.
I'll go with Sergio Garcia each way this week in Mexico.
Sergio Garcia for Ian and for Steve.
I would have the Ricky Fowler, Scott Brown each way double.
Which you presumably have had.
Yes, I have. That would be the mortgage spitter.
How much will he win you?
It's 240-ish.
240. That's mortgage spitter, but not face spitter. You'd still work.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. A couple of let's go back to the holiday. What was your holiday tincture of choice?
The Seychelles brew. Seybrew. It's called Seybrew. Yeah, 4.9. Nice little lager, but very expensive in the Seychelles. Every bottle of lager was costing me about £8. So.
Oh, well, you're not all inclusive.
No. It wasn't allowed to all inclusive. It's just half board. Yeah, half board. So,
okay. And
yeah,
did the ladies of the Palmer household enjoy it?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I just hope we can do more of these holidays. Obviously paid for by betting. So need to win some more money now so we can have some more jolly holidays. Yeah.
Okay. Steve does also get quite a handsome wage from the Racing Post, just in case you think he works for nothing. Ian, you're due a holiday, aren't you? You haven't missed a week in years.
I know. Yeah.
When are you next
off? I think I missed 1 week off. I'm actually off the week of the Cheltenham Festival, but I won't be getting away too much. I'll be in the punting bunker for the week, I think. Players' Championship and Cheltenham Festival, yeah. So
who's your reserve?
Probably Dave Curran, if had to be, if anything struck
Dave's
me down.
Back. Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can still do, well, I don't know. I can still do the players if you want me to.
We would love you to, if you don't mind. Yeah. That would be brilliant. Oh, excellent. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's in, I think that's 3 weeks, isn't it? What a week that's going to be. If you love your racing and you love your golf, you've got the Cheltenham Festival and the Players' Championship in the same week. We will be back next week with the European Tour heading off to Oman for the Oman Open. And we've got the Honda Classic in the PGA Tour as well. Okay then, chaps, thank you very much for your input. I'm back tomorrow for another football podcast, and Stuart Riley is your host for Racing on Friday. If you can't join us for them, we'd love to see you back here next Wednesday for another Racing Post Golf Postcast.
Right, 10 seconds to promote Paddy Power Games. Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games. Advertising. It's easy when you know how. Paddy Power. Enough of the nonsense. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Give them the horn!